Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Joining me right now, one of my favorites and one of your favorites, tight end Logan Paulson, who does so much analysis work on the Commanders' YouTube page, on their website with Santana and Smoot and everybody there. And we love having him when we get a chance to have him on this show. So, look, the offseason is for the most part over. Of course, there could be, you know, a roster addition somewhere down the line between now and, say, shortly after the cut down from 90 to 53 in early September. We'll be there, by the way, before we know it. Can't wait to get there. But for the most part, the roster is what we see it to be right now. Give me the areas, Logan, where you feel very obviously the team got better.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, I think based on what happened this free agency cycle, it feels very obviously that that's the offensive line. I think when you look at the addition of Laremy Tunsil, the drafting of Josh Connerly, the movement of Brandon Coleman in a guard, I think all those moves make that group significantly better. They get more athletic, they get bigger, they get better length at those positions. And again, there's a lack of experience at two of those spots, but I think you're betting on the upside of those players, really. And then the other one that I think maybe people would kind of push back with me on is probably the defensive line as well. Like, I really like the addition of Dietrich Wise. Goldman, I think, is another really sneaky positive addition. You know, like, those guys, I think, add really good depth. I think they put Daron Payne in a better position to be successful. I think they make Bobby Wagner better because they're going to play the run a little bit more consistently. So I think that's going to be – I think both those sides of the footballs have gotten better, and I think it's, again, when you improve in the trenches, that just makes a better football team.
Yeah, well, you answered the second question, which is give me an area not so obvious that you think the team improved on, and you just said it, because I don't think that's obvious to most people. I actually felt – and I always feel like this time of the year, sometimes you learn more listening to coaches and players talk after OTA days and minicamp days. And I thought it was interesting that Joe Witt Jr. and Dan Quinn a few weeks ago really specifically isolated Daron Payne and said how thrilled they were with how he looked and how he was playing. Did you feel the same way being present at some of these OTAs and mini camp days?
Well, it's funny. They do a good job in OTAs and mini camps of making sure the veterans don't get too many reps. But it was funny. Like, I don't listen to the press conferences before. I listen to them after practice. And on that day, I remember going to practice and watching Daron Payne just kind of by happenstance, like, watch him kind of pursue a football, you know, a fake run to the right. It was a boot to the left. He runs back after the quarterback. The quarterback throws the football to the low cross. He's the first guy in pursuit there. And I just remember thinking, like, man, Daron looks like he's in really good shape. You very rarely do you see defensive tackles run and pursue that way. And when they are, like, they're really, really fit. So that was one thing that stuck out to me, just kind of his conditioning level seems like it's in a much better spot. To have a rep like that, a couple reps like that during OTAs and minicamps. So, again, like we were talking about before we got on, like, this is a time of year that's a little bit silly season. Like, you got to show me more comprehensively that you're there. But I understand why they're excited about him. And again, he's a guy that I've always always liked. I always think he's got some good physicality. The athleticism, I think, is really underrated with him. So to see him kind of see the conditioning, and then also I think, you know, from hearing stuff that Coach Tapp has said and Ryan Kerrigan has said, that he's kind of stepping into more of a leadership role, I think that also bodes really well for his 2025 campaign.
Yeah, I know that you and I have talked about him in the past. I've always been a fan of Daron Payne's, you know, upside, you know, his best. Like, I think his best is way up there among interior defensive linemen, but we just haven't seen his best consistently. We just haven't. That's been his issue. If he is at his best in 2025, isn't that the biggest deal defensively for this team?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, maybe it's definitely one of them. I think, you know, in terms of, like, biggest things for them this offseason, I think it's definitely a top three thing. Like, I think if you can get him to be the best version of himself, playing that three technique, anticipating runs, being a penetrating, disruptive player on the defensive line, getting some production as a pass rusher. Again, I don't think he's ever going to get back to that 11.5 sack number, but I do think you'll see a guy who gets maybe 8-9 sacks with a bunch of TFLs. Like, that's going to be really, really devastating because he does have that difference-making athleticism. So, again, if you kind of get the best version of him, like, I think it'll be pretty dramatic in terms of improvement at the defensive line, defensive tackle spot specifically for this team. And, again, that's something that it's good to hear the coaches talk about. It's good to see flashes of it in practice. But I really want to see what it looks like when, you know, it's team camp, or they're practicing against a different team, you know, the New England Patriots, for example, as we're getting ready for the season, and see if all of this kind of preseason hype amounts to anything. But yeah, if that is true, man, it's going to be really exciting to watch.
You know, it's interesting, and I didn't realize this until, you know, I sort of talked about him the day that the coaches talked about him. He just turned 28 years old. I mean, this should actually, it's year 8. But he came into the league as a young player. This should be the height of his prime in the NFL at that position at 28 years old, don't you think?
Yeah, I think it is one of those things you forget, like, that people come in at different ages, you know, and that he was so young when he came in. And, you know, that 28 number for defensive tackles, they've kind of calcified their body. They've learned, they've seen the different combinations in terms of how the offensive line blocks things, what a double team feels like, what a trap feels like, what outside zone, inside zone feels like. So he's going to be able to play with tremendous confidence while still not losing any of the athleticism, that made him a first round pick. So I'm really excited for him. And again, like, all of this stuff, all of this kind of noise around him, the age, the athleticism, the coach's comments, seeing his conditioning in practice, to me, kind of says he's poised for a big year. Obviously, he's got to go out and do it, but it's an exciting time for him. And, you know, like, we had to do a segment on the show, players you're most excited to watch in 2025, and mine was Daron Payne because of the stuff we just talked about.
All right. What roster-wise is your biggest concern area heading into the upcoming season?
You know, that's tough because it's so speculative, but I'd say biggest concern right now, to me, it's probably offensive playmakers, specifically wide receivers, especially with Brown's injury. Like, hopefully it's not serious, because I will say when OTA's minicamp started and he was healthy, like, I was like, man, and Terry wasn't even here, I thought, man, this group looks pretty good. Like, Gallup looks like he's got his feet under him, or he's getting his feet under him. Brown's doing a great job of creating separation and using that big frame. Debo, again, in the slot, kind of with some of these choice routes, slants, one-on-one winning opportunities versus a safety or a linebacker. I thought, man, this is not a bad playmaking group. And it was so interesting when, you know, Noah Brown left that kind of starting rotation. It was a little bit like, oh, you know, now all of a sudden the depth gets called into question. And, you know, Michael Gallup had a hamstring for minicamp, so that athleticism wasn't out there either. And you're kind of like, oh, Luke McCaffrey, who I thought had a really nice minicamp period, is now playing significant minutes for the offense. And, you know, Terry's not here. And it's just like, wow, this got really thin really quickly. And I think the Terry thing's going to resolve itself sooner rather than later. But that's something that I kind of am keeping an eye on, right? Like, if Noah Brown's not there, who who is the true number two wide receiver in this offense. Obviously, Diami was the guy that stepped into that role last year. Zacchaeus had big minutes in that role last year. But is there a guy like that is ready for that? Is Luke ready for that? And I think, he had a great OTA minicamp period. He looks like he's developed a lot in terms of the nuance of playing the receiver position. But that's a question that kind of looms over the offense. It's really exciting to get Debo. It's really exciting to have Terry. But two players does not make a dynamic receiving group. So I'm keeping an eye on kind of the depth, the health, and the wellness of that group.
How do you feel about Luke McCaffrey specifically?
I mean, I think Luke, if I'm buying stock or evaluating the stock of Luke McCaffrey, he's gotten a lot better from last year to this year in terms of doing some of the receiver things. Like, there were stretches of practice in minicamp and OTAs where he was creating great separation. You saw kind of the elite short shuttle, the elite three cone that he had at the combine last year. And you kind of said, okay, there's some of the things, but you still see some of the, he still needs to polish up some of those receiving abilities that he's still working on cultivating. I mean, he's only played receiver for 4 years, like counting this year. This is his fourth year playing receiver. And so some of the, like, hey, we're running a backside dig. The ball's a little bit late because the quarterback's working through his progression. Instead of taking a flat angle coming out of my cut, do I attack the football? Do I wait for the football instead of moving towards it? Do I work my stem? How's my indicator at the top? Like, how do I paint a picture of a different route to open up the route that I'm actually running? Like, that stuff needs to layer in a little bit. I think the athlete's there. I think the competitor's there. It's just, is the nuance going to develop quickly enough for him to be a true two in this offense? And I think if you said, hey, he's going to be your four for the first 8 weeks of the season and develop into something more, I'd be like, man, that's a great trajectory and arc for him. But given the health of the receiver room at the moment, like, does he have to do that more quickly, and is he ready for that? To me, that's a more challenging question to answer.
All right, sticking with the receivers, and you alluded to it, but where do you think the Terry McLaurin contract negotiation is right now, and how do you think it ends up, and by when?
I have no inside baseball in this, and like, I kind of take now as an analyst the same approach I took as a player. It's like, that's his job and the team's job to work that out and determine the best contract for him. And it's his job to kind of strike while the iron is hot in terms of Terry and make the most money he possibly can. So whatever, I think the team understands his role and his impact on this roster. And I think they understand the importance of getting him back. And I think Terry wants to be here as a Washington Commander. And I think this will get resolved. But again, in terms of what I think the value is, what I think his value is, I'm not going to speculate on that. I think I'm just assuming they're going to get it done because I think they both want this thing to happen.
You're not a player anymore. You are in the media now. This is what
we
do. We speculate.
It is true.
What's interesting about it, because the first report that came out, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whenever it was, that, that there was some contentiousness between the two sides. And I think we've learned that there is probably some between the two sides. I think it's a very interesting contract negotiation because on one hand, you've got a guy that you absolutely need because you are in a win now mode and you've got a chance to win a Super Bowl in 2025, and it would be very hard to do it without him. And on the flip side, as the team, you can't go setting outrageous precedents for guys that are entering their 30s. Terry's a very good receiver, but he's not at the elite level. He's not at the Chase or the Jefferson level. I think it's actually kind of an interesting situation for the team and the player. I think they'll get it done. I certainly hope they get it done. But I do think, in terms of a player who's going to be 30, who, is really good but not super elite, and yet the team needs him, I think that it's an interesting situation that we're kind of viewing from the outside right now.
No, I totally agree. And I know, people were talking about it being contentious. Like, I don't think I've ever been a part personally or observed through kind of communication with guys when I was playing or guys that I know now who are developing or trying to cultivate new contracts. Like, it always gets a little contentious, right? Because you think of yourself in a certain way, the team thinks you of in a different way, like you're trying to get the most amount out of the contract and they're trying to be a good business. Like, that's not your job as a player to think about that. So I've always found that it gets a little contentious, a little heated, but I think you bring up a good point. Like, I think you talk to most GMs, I think it's very easy for them to say, oh, he's not these players. He's not Justin Jefferson. He's not Ja'Marr Chase. I think the contract that is interesting in terms of, like, if I'm Terry's agent, I look at the value of is the DK Metcalf contract, and I say, man, like, this is what we want to be paid above. And he, quite frankly, should be paid more than DK Metcalf, probably, because, you know, of his production, he's just been way more of an efficient player. But, again, I think that contract was a bad contract by Pittsburgh, and I think it's going to be hard to kind of communicate that between the team and the player. So I think that's an interesting kind of variable in all this, is how the market currently looks for the receiver market. But like I said, like, I don't have to do it. I don't have to think too hard about it. And hopefully Adam Peters and the organization gets it done. I think they will. And I think Terry ultimately wants to be here. So I think it will happen at some point. But like I said, contract negotiations always get a little bit funny. And I'm sure you've had similar experiences in your own professional life, right? You want more money, the organization doesn't want to pay you, and
sure,
that always leads to friction. But usually, that gets that's water under the bridge when they sign on the dotted line.
Yeah,
so
it's business. You know what? Something else is interesting about the Terry situation, and I didn't think about this until a caller, you know, brought it up the other day, is that a lot of our fans like to say Terry's the anti-typical receiver. He's the anti-diva. But you know what's interesting is you look at, like, the, you know, a list of just say the top 20 receivers in the game, which of course Terry is, you know, closer to 10, much closer to 10 than he would be 20. There are a lot of receivers that are not divas. You know, I was going through the list. It's like Justin Jefferson's a great teammate. You know, Puka Nacua is great. Mike Evans has always been, I think, first class. There are the receivers, the number of receivers that are in that diva category, I think, is a smaller category or a smaller group than it used to be. Terry's not alone as being a really good teammate and a really good locker room guy at that position. I don't know. It was an observation the other day.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No, I think it's a great point. I mean, I always think the receivers get a bad rap. I think they get these, that they're kind of flamboyant in terms of their personalities on the field. But I think about, you know, Santana Moss, Pierre Garçon, Josh Morgan, guys that I played with.
Right.
And they were some of the best teammates, right? I played with, Hopkins when I was in Houston. Like, he was a fantastic teammate. Julio Jones, fantastic teammate. And so I think receivers understand that they can have big personalities, obviously. But, like, ultimately, like, that's part of the show. That's part of the position. And ultimately, like, to make a good team and a good organization work, you got to be supportive of your teammates and their journey and their process. So I do think more players are leaning that direction. You know, and even, honestly, DeSean Jackson, who, you know, kind of had, you know, this reputation of being, you know, kind of a diva. Like, I never had an issue with him as a teammate. You know what I mean? And so I do think people get these perceptions in terms of national media of guys.
Right.
But, you know, I think they're good dudes or good football players who love the game and want to be around it. And ultimately, if you're doing those things, you're going to be an all right dude to be around in the locker room. So.
So I'm curious about something, and I think you're the perfect guy to answer this. You were here in your rookie year with a new coaching staff. The Shanahan first year in 2010 was your rookie season. What should we expect in growth from year one to year two when you have coaching continuity? You've got continuity with many of the players. Now, I know 2011, by the way, now that I think about it, was a completely different quarterback situation than 2010 because it was the Beck Grossman year versus the McNabb year. But I think you get the idea. Is there growth just because there is an understanding of how it works with the staff, you know? And if so, if that is true, how does it sort of manifest?
Yeah, I mean, I think absolutely there's something to that. And what I would say is just like you, as a coach and as a player, your comfort level just increases, right? You know the routine, you know what the expectation are, you know what the standard is. And as a coach, you better understand the personnel that you're dealing with and what you are good at and areas where players struggle and things you have to hide and things you have to work around. And I think that leads to a more dynamic offense or defense and a more kind of comprehensive understanding of the direction you want either side of the ball and, as a result, the team to go. So, yeah, I think in year two it's awesome, especially when you got a coach like Dan who's got such a clear vision of what he wants the program to look like and the clear messaging he gives to the players and the clear messaging he gives to the coaches. It just allows you to build on that first year in a really nice way going to the second year. Like, I think about it from an offensive standpoint, it just lets you get a little bit more detailed. It allows you to kind of hone in on, you know, splits, route depths, you know, positions on blocks, like truly understanding what the coaching staff is looking for. And that's me as a player. And again, the coaches now, I'm sure, are just allowed to go into a little bit more detail, a little bit more emphasis, kind of cutting out things that didn't work well and adding things that they think will fit the personnel a little bit better. So I think second year there's an awesome opportunity for growth. And I think this staff is acutely equipped to handle that because of how talented it seems like everybody on the staff is.
All right, well, maybe that will be a part of your next answer to this multiple choice question. Jaden's 2025 season will be A, better than his rookie year, B, the same as his rookie year, C, worse than his rookie season. What's your answer and why?
Yeah, this is something that I've honestly been really struggling with. I kind of, depending on the day, depending on the time of day you ask me, I kind of go back and forth on it. So my knee-jerk reaction is, I want to say A, but then the devil on my other shoulder says, well, how can he possibly be better than he was last year? I mean, you're looking at one of the most efficient rookie seasons.
Yeah.
A guy that was excellent on fourth down. The completion percentage was crazy. His ability to find explosive plays. In terms, like, 50-plus plays, they were third in the NFL in that statistical category. Like, holy cow. And then I say, well, you know, like, let me look at that a little bit more deeply, right? They added Laremy Tunsil. They are going to get better at left guard, supposedly. They should be getting at right tackle, supposedly, with the addition of those two young guys and the movement of Brandon Coleman. So they should be able to kind of evolve the offense. We just talked about what the coaching staff looks like, right? So I should be able now to work on some of the things that were lacking in the offense. I should be able to attack kind of that 15 to 20 yard range on the field with those deep digs, those deep in cuts, those high lows over the middle of the field, which is not a feature of the offense in the same way last year, I think, because of how Cliff emphasized Jaden's skill set, emphasized his strength, but also because he was always managing pass protection issues. So if we can kind of develop that element of Jaden's game, get him more comfortable in the pocket with better pass protection, you know, with the addition of Laremy Tunsil and these other athletic guys along the offensive line, shoot, well, he could actually be better. And then you go to two and say, oh, well, it's about the same as his rookie year, so maybe they do improve in that category, but they don't win as many games, or the completion percentage goes down, or they aren't as good as they were last year on fourth down, which seems like a very reasonable expectation because they were like 80% conversion on fourth down. So they can't possess the football as long. He gets less bites at the apple. He gets less efficiency there. So that's where it's like this is a really tough question because I think there's so many variables and there's such a multitude of ways this could go. Ultimately, I do think you'll see, quote-unquote, an improvement from Jaden, but what does that improvement come across as to the fan base is the thing that I'm uncertain about. Like, if they win less games, if his completion percentage goes down, but he's more efficient in the red zone, or he's more efficient throwing over the middle of the field, like, those things are going to be actionable, big, noticeable differences for the offense. But statistically, it might look different than the year before. So, I guess, in answer to your question, I think it'll be better. I think he'll be better. I think the staff is that level of staff to get the most out of him. I think they've made the right personnel moves, specifically along the offensive line, to make those levels of improvement. I think Adam Peters deserves a lot of credit for kind of seeking Laremy Tunsil out and getting him in the building. So I think the thing is, like, I just don't know how fans will perceive his year two if it's not like night and day better than it was last year. And then I go back to my initial question, which is like, how do you get better on a really damn good year from last year? You know, so like, That's kind of where I'm at. I think it'll be better. I just don't know how it'll be perceived by the fan base ultimately. So it's probably A or B, whatever, one or two, whatever you said there.
No, some really good stuff in that answer. And I have, you know, answered the question when I've been asked. It's like the same thing. Like, what would we say next year about an area of improvement? Like, oh, man, he got much better at that. Like, there just isn't anything that is obvious. I know that they've spoken to things with footwork, et cetera, but there's nothing, you know, obvious to the average fan that you would say, oh, my God, thank God he got better at, you know, getting the ball out of his hands quickly or whatever it would be. All right. So it's kind of that time of year where, you know, you and I were talking about this before we started to record. There's no real football. We just had OTAs and minicamp. But there's conversation about football. And the conversation, you know, usually among fans and analysts like yourself, focuses on new faces more than familiar faces. So among the new faces, who are you legitimately excited about?
I mean, I think when you look at guys through the OTA period and minicamp period, the guy that was kind of definitively, in my estimation, the most exciting guy was Trey Amos. I mean, he was very exciting. I mean, I want to say the first OTA practice, he had two interceptions, great coverage kind of throughout the process, great feel in terms of ball production, vision of the football, understanding route concepts. Like, I was really, really impressed with him. Now, he didn't do everything perfectly, but I think when you see kind of that early foundational instinctiveness from a young football player, that gets you tremendously excited. You know, obviously, Laremy Tunsil was only here for a couple of days, but seeing him around, understanding what his pedigree is something that's very exciting. Another one is Harris, Will Harris from New Orleans, obviously, last year. He's a guy that I was really curious to see how they use him, and a guy that played multiple positions in New Orleans, and they kind of messed around with him in multiple spots. Like, he played nickel one down, he played safety, he's kind of the extra linebacker, and I thought, man, here's a guy who has a coverage upside that I don't think we had at the position last year, and it gives you a lot of flexibility in terms of a guy that can blitz, can defend the run, and also adds a little bit in terms of coverage instincts and coverage ability. So those were two guys on the defensive side of the football that I was very impressed with, and I was impressed with throughout, and I'm really curious to see what they look like during OTAs and during training camp, excuse me.
Yeah, you're not the first person to mention Trey Amos to me, but, you know, historically, the cornerback position needs time. It needs reps. It needs experience. Yeah. The Sauce Gardners and the, you know, Pat Surtans and even, you know, the Mikey Sanristills are more the exception to the rule. Do you see him as a potential exception to the rule as a rookie?
Oh, man, there's a reason there's rules, you know what I'm saying, Kevin? I think I think he's going to be, this is what I'd say, my expectation is that he's better than the people that we had here last year. I think the instincts are better, the ball skills are better, the understanding, the playmaking nuance is better from him. I still think he's going to go through some rookie struggles for sure, but I also have a lot of confidence. Like, we talked about my confidence in Cliff Kingsbury and the offense and getting Jaden better. I have a lot of confidence in Joe Witt Jr. that he knows how to coach DBs to find ball production. And I think about him, the other defensive coaches on the staff, and their ability, again, to seemingly maximize players' superpowers and put them in good positions to be successful. And I do think that Amos has all the requisite tools to do that. And I think you've got a guy in Joe Witt Jr. who knows how to maximize the skill set that they brought. And, you know, like you talk about, we talked about Adam Peters getting Laremy Tunsil. I also think Adam deserves a ton of credit for finding these people that seem to fit the offensive and defensive vision so acutely, and I think that's one of the reasons why. Again, is it going to be perfect with Ramos? No. I think the infrastructure and the environment for him is going to be one that I think supports a very positive first year, and I think it's going to be an improvement over that second cornerback spot for most of the year last year.
Logan Paulson, everybody. There was a lot more to that. You can catch it on my podcast. He talked about just the defense and what he's expecting next year and more. That was brought to you by Amazon. If you love deals, you'll love this. Prime Day is lasting 4 days this year. That's 4 days of unbelievable deals in every category you can think of. So you can save big on everything you're into. Shop Prime Day, July 8th. Through 11th at Amazon.com. I'll finish up the show with this. We talked about Shedeur Sanders very early in the show. Gary wrote, "Kevin, relax, man. Pro athletes love cars and love to drive fast. It's always been a thing. He'll pay the tickets, and none of this has to do with how he'll play quarterback." From Charles, "Shedeur Sanders didn't rob a bank, Kevin. He got a speeding ticket. Has nothing to do with football." Yeah, I didn't criticize him for the speeding tickets specifically. I emphasized, if you were listening, that these were not serious offenses, even though they were back-to-back speeding tickets. The criticism that I had for him was discipline, decision-making. He's a guy that is under a microscope and has been. You know, leading up to the draft, during the draft, after the draft, more so than most players, because the major drop to the fifth round was because of reported immaturity, arrogance, and other things. So the speeding tickets, without the context, wouldn't be that big of a deal, although he did miss the court appearance for the first one. The context, though, of him being under this bright spotlight and the reasons for it, yeah, you question decision-making, discipline. You know, you should be focused on not bringing any of the discussion as to why you dropped to the fifth round back into the conversation. We're done for the day. Have a great weekend. Back on Monday to talk about Game 7. Linnell's in for Chris next.
All right, the NBA Finals is going to a Game 7. Last night, Game 6. An incredible defensive effort by the Pacers, a team-led game as well. Obi Toppin was leading scorer with 20 points, and the Pacers had 16 steals. That is the third most in NBA Finals history, the most since the Celtics set a record with 18 in 2008. Game 7 will be on Sunday night on ABC. The Winnipeg Jets have announced that they are signing former Chicago Blackhawk Jonathan Toews. Toews stepped away from the game in 2023 after the Hawks announced that they would not be re-signing him after his contract expired following the season. He will now play for his hometown club after ramping up his training for an NHL comeback. The Nats, they beat the streak. James Wood saves the day with a two-run shot in the 11th to lift the Nats over the Rockies 4-3 and end the 11-game losing streak. James Wood joined Bryce Harper, Juan Soto, and Ryan Zimmerman as the only four Nationals to hit 20 home runs in a season before turning 23 years old. They'll begin their West Coast road trip late tonight versus Clayton Kershaw and the Dodgers. First pitch at 10:10. Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 9:40. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10-1 and Craig Hoffman from 4-7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.